I thank you for your contribution. This is Muslim at Skull. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Sankara. Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir.
I think I'm going to have to agree with the engineer there who's saying, I am about disagreeing with Granville Phillips. I ain't used to this sort of thing. I fully endorse every statement that has been made on this panel this morning. Okay? Now, let me start first, I guess, dealing with you. I think the mistake which you're making when you start talking about costs, how much money is it going to cost us to retrofit the building or what have you? You cannot, A, you have to accept the fact it's going to cost millions of dollars. All right? But you cannot come whittle down to any figure unless you know, A, exactly what you are dealing with, what you're starting with, and then also exactly what you want to end up with. What do you want to be there? And then you can come up with the cost of what you're going to do. Okay, an idea. But when you put that and put that as one of the first things in the minds of the public, then they start thinking about money. It's not about money. This is a conversation about value to country, value to society. And in terms of Bridgetown, one of the things which I'm going to say as well, which I think y'all are in error, there is a vision for Bridgetown, and there is a vision for that entire area. The question is, whose vision is it? Because last year, I saw the plan for the Carlisle Bay project development, which stretches from the Hilton all the way into town. And I do not, and people have said, well, this doesn't look like Barbados. This looks somewhere like Miami or whatever. So there is a very, very comprehensive vision for what's going to happen. The question is, whose is it? And then what does it result in? Almost 30 years ago now, myself and another group of architects, young architects, got together and we did a project. And we called it Bridgetown on Fire, where we reimagined Bridgetown. And each of us came up with different ideas of what Bridgetown should be or what have you. And my main thing was to deal with the whole Carlisle Bay area and to bring people, to extend the boardwalk and bring it into the city and then terminate in the by the pierhead in that area. But the idea is to bring people, bring the public into the city to then explore and revitalize the city. In terms of the NIS building itself, when I look at that building, I think it is a magnificent building. And it can be, people look at it as an eyesore. I can see the potential that it has. And one of the problems that you have with a park is normally closed at night. Now, if the intention is to bring people into your city, especially at night, then a park is counterproductive to that. So you need a building that is going to draw and bring people into the city. And that is a prime location, exactly by the transportation point that it is, the central hub of all transportation in the country. So developing along those lines is what is important. Having a structure there that serves the public. Now, what sort of structure it is and the final use of it, I don't know. But in terms of you have to gut the entire inside, you maintain the shell, you can build other things. We live in a world now where we want to... Technology allows us to do so many different things, to reimagine things. So a museum isn't a dusty old place anymore. Or a library isn't a place that's just full with books. These are places that can attract people to come up to see technology, to explore, to imagine, to create. Okay? And that is one of the things that a lot of other cities have over Barbados, for example. You go to New York, you can go to these places that stir your imagination. And this is what we want to have in the center of Bridgetown. A building that, one, attracts people, attracts the locals in terms of saying, okay, they can come there and they professionals to do. Then also the importance, a question which I hear, which people don't ask, what makes Bridgetown historic? Now, there is the reason why we were given historic status, which is a totally different reason from what really and truly makes Bridgetown historic. And that, to me, is one of the reasons, one of the things is, we were the almost the center of the slave trade for centuries. And this is something that we have totally ignored. No, it's not something that we should celebrate, but it's something that historically it has to be recognized and preserved. And that has got to be emphasized in terms of developing the development that happens in Bridgetown. A lot of people don't know, again, some of the structures in Bridgetown that are unique in the world. We had the dry dock, the screw dock. There were only two in the world. Even the swing bridge at that time was one prime examples of Victorian architecture that nobody knew about. And again, the whole question of what makes Bridgetown, the reason why Bridgetown was named Bridgetown in the first place is because when the settlers came and they found this Arawak bridge crossing the swamp area, and that development happened from there. There's no celebration or recognition of that in terms of this is what makes Bridgetown historical. And what is missing is the conversation. As I said, there's a vision of Bridgetown, but whose vision is it?
This goes into Colonel Brown's plan of a Barbados vision. Yeah. I had you on for a long run. Anyone wants to respond to...
I actually like his analysis. That's the kind of input that you need to drive the kind of vision I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So that when a good historical background, a sound foundation on which to build the kind of Barbados that we want for our grandchildren. And obviously it's going to take a couple of decades to get to where you want. But then a lady called and said that one thing she would like to see is ongoing improvements in Bridgetown. You know, the word improvement is a funny word, you know. Improvements mean going towards some goal. If you don't have a goal, what is improvement? Which is the point that Granville was making. What happens is that unless there is an ultimate objective in mind, a destination you want to get to, improvement in your eyes may be disimprovement in my eyes. So that central goal and the kind of analysis that he just did, for example, the whole question of the slave historical input we've had in slavery, for example, the kind of traditions that in terms of the bridge in Bridgetown, the fact that there are only two drive-ins in the world and one is in Barbados, for example, these kind of things are the kind of historical, the kind of things that can drive a vision down the road to help us to clarify and to sell to Barbadians generally, both B, D, E, and Grabby, what was your part again?
Solutions, man.
No, but what you want is a situation where everybody is actually on board and actually buy into the vision that you have, so that whoever happens to have the responsibility of leadership at the time appreciate that this is where we as a collective country want to go. And therefore, you can have the kind of improvements the lady is talking about, because they can know that this is where we are now. Next year, we're going to address the Nelson Street area, because this is where we want to go. And then we know the year after that, we can deal with that Bridgetown Pier project that the callers spoke about. So then you're actually all moving towards a clear vision. But I actually like the kind of groundwork that he laid in trying to develop the kind of vision that you actually need.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for your call. And we take one more call, but we really need it now. 1 minute after 12, we want to really talk about the Fairchild Street Market development. We'll take this one more call right now. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Hi, Glenn.
Thank you.
Yes.
You called me. Good morning to you, and good morning to your panel.
Good morning, Glenn.
Okay. Yeah, one of the reasons, well, you pushed my button, but I was contemplating calling anyhow, but you pushed my button, and I had to call. One of the reasons I'm calling is that I remember that at one time there were environmental and other problems in the Parliament buildings that were built in, what, 17-something, 18th century buildings? And there was mold, and there was some work done to remediate them. Nobody thought or contemplated, nobody mentioned trying to demolish them. They were strengthened, they were improved to make them function and retain the historic architectural and his value. I also remember too that I remember going to Malta. And Malta had a number of buildings which were bombed out during the Second World War, but the structures were left standing, and they built offices and restaurants within the bombed out structure, and that became a tourism attraction because here were these partially damaged buildings, but still they were given a fresh function by the using of their imagination. You go to Cuba and you see how they've maintained their historic old Havana. Right? So I'm saying, because the true buildings are more than protection or function, or buildings also say something about a society, about the people, as much as your food, your music, your visual arts, your dance do. And therefore, and that's one of the reasons why you say, well, let us seek to retain that building. And furthermore, and why I mentioned the fact about the Fire Service Headquarters, also Government Headquarters, because I remembered when I was a minister, I had the responsibility for some offices in the NIS building. And from time to time, I would get calls about problems, lights, electrical problems, primarily air conditioning problems, because we had a data processing department, et cetera, in there. And I would have to call the electrical engineering division, MPW, and there'd be a crisscrossing of rules, and they have to wait until people are ready. And there used to be a lot of hassle to get things done to remediate the situation for the public and the officers in the building. So that is what led me to where I came to government headquarters, where my office was. And I persuaded, not much difficulty, Prime Minister Arthur, to appoint a full-time maintenance coordinator, because already the NSS building was suffering from lack of coordinated, systematic, regular, scientific management of its maintenance. And that is why we've been able to maintain government headquarters in the condition that what it was. Highly functional, aesthetically pleasing, and I must warn you that from time to time, I've heard people say that greedy people in the public, in the private sector, that is a waste of land space. That actually be a place for a new hotel, a nice hotel, exploiting the value of Carlisle Bay. But you mean that people who have built things for themselves that represent a new mark of the emergence of a society, they must go for the benefit of people who want to make money. So I'm saying that Trevor made some very interesting observation, also the previous call about when he talked about whose vision. It is important that we do not just use labels and terms, transform, redevelop. Let us define them as to what they mean precisely. I'm sure that all the engineers in there, and certainly learned this at school, that when you must always define your term when you want to present a case for or against something. And therefore, so we use a lot of terms that are being bandied about. Sick buildings. When did it become a sick building? What do you mean a sick building? What difference a sick building which only has certain environmental problems, something which have inherent structural problems that have an impact on the environment and the performance of a person in the building. So I would like to see a little more, but it's probably too late now. Because, Sankey, you took me off guard last week when you mentioned about that this project was spoken about back in July last year. I really had not remembered that at all. But I'm saying we need, what the person is saying is information, as has been pressed all morning. We need to have had a plan laid out as to what we propose, what impact we said. We need to have town hall meeting, we would have needed to have, because it seems to be a fait accompli, a foregone conclusion, and therefore we may just have an academic exercise. But I'm saying that would have served us a better purpose, and I emerged in a consensus, like Trevor and everybody said, and then we know where we are going. I think Barbadians love their country, they love their city. But they want to be involved. They want to reflect them, not any individual or group's particular vision. Because people talk about vision, but whose vision is it? Like I said, yours, mine, or our vision. And I think until we come to that, I think we keep repeating ourselves and making these mistakes over and over again.
All right, thank you, Glenn, for your contribution. I just want to remind us all that this program is brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Inc.
No, it's- is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
So building supplies, big or small, and Brilliance Metals, we have it all. And Brilliance Metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday. This is Sanka Price with you along with Dennis Johnson. And Granville, you want to make a point?
Yes, so this exposes a glaring gap in the decision-making process for demolishing buildings. I mean, it's glaring. The liquidation center is a classic example, because we were told that the fire service determined that there was inadequate access, and therefore they condemned the building. And then we had the Environmental Protection Department that found some rat droppings and condemned the building. So it was condemned as unfit for human occupation at the time. The next step then is call in the cleaners and clean it. Call in a small contractor and let him punch a hole in the building and that's a new access. You don't automatically decide to demolish it. So there's a weak link somewhere where one government department or two government departments decided that it was unfit or it was condemned for human occupation, and then to demolish. There must be something in between there. So why do you demolish a structurally sound building? Because as far as I'm concerned, the building is structurally sound. Why do you demolish a structurally sound building? You demolish it because, why do you demolish buildings at all? Well, one, it's structurally unsound, and it's too expensive to strengthen. Or two, it's very expensive to maintain. And again, that's mainly a result of a high maintenance design. You do not have to air condition an entire building. You can have wind corridors in a building, but this insistence on air conditioning an entire building and therefore making it extremely expensive to maintain. And no wonder the people don't have the money to maintain it, because it's too expensive. So you design it so that you don't have to air condition the entire thing. You don't air condition the entire school. You air condition some the staff quarters, maybe the principal's office, but you don't air condition all of the classrooms. We didn't air condition the entire Queen Elizabeth Hospital. I go there, people just open the windows and it's good. You air condition the offices that the people are in, the whole day. You don't air condition your entire house. You may just air condition maybe the bedroom, if that at all. Or just open the windows and let the air blow through. Put some mesh to prevent the mosquitoes from coming in. So some thought into the design, so that you design a low maintenance building. I said there's a critical point. We just keep designing these high maintenance buildings. But the third thing then is, if a developer comes and decides, I have money, I can knock down this building that's structurally sound and is low maintenance, but I'm going to knock it down because I can build something better, then go ahead. But outside of those, we can't just decide it's condemned for human occupation, therefore knock it down. That doesn't make too much sense.
Right. Let's move on now to the whole redevelopment of the Fairchild Street market. We have heard some talk about this for some years. And we've seen just outside here of Starcom, we've seen what has been done for some time. They removed the old market structure. And those of us who are here sometimes at night, in fact, sometimes in the day, you see rats the size of cats running around there and lots of garbage. That has been cleaned up. But we also have stalls all over the place. And it really needs being developed. What sort of plan should we be looking at this time? I don't know if the architects want to start.
Yeah, sure. I think the we need a plan. That's the bottom line.
Have you seen a plan?
We have not seen a plan. Like you say, I've heard lots of discussion. I mean, it's been bandied about quite some time that Fairchild Street redevelopment. I have not seen a plan. I have no knowledge whatsoever of what's happening out there now. There are, I'm sure there are lots of potential good solutions. I mean, and it goes back to Trevor's thing. Let's, you know, we need an overall master plan. This whole thing that's happening now with the NIS building and that square and the thing across the street for Fairchild Street, for the Fairchild Market, it all seems to be very entwined. I mean, it should be all be looking at the whole place together.
Right.
Yeah. So, and it's not something that the architects had looked at in our little exercise because it wasn't on our radar, but I mean, once we take that, the Probyn Lane, Probyn Street Square, Fairchild Street Market, and you expand it into the rest of Bridgetown. You know, we need that overall plan. One of the callers made mention of the master plan, 1990 master plan. There is such a master plan. Doesn't it? I think we may have a copy of it. I'm not sure. But these sort of things, I think, should be readily accessible on the internet for people to review and look back at. Because you forget. You look at it. Back in the 1990s, it's good to go, and then 5 years later, you've forgotten about it and can't find it. So all of these sort of things need to be worked on, planned, agreed, developed, and recorded to move us forward in the right direction.
But some people would argue that that plan was a vision of only a certain people, only certain few.
Yes, it was probably, but it needs to be expanded. I mean. When you're working on a master plan, you don't start with a blank sheet. If there was something done in 1990, you go from there and you build on it and you tweak and you go, you know, you make reference to that. You don't have to start from scratch again.
The interesting thing about Barbados is that we do some of the basic things that people talk about. I mean, there is something in Barbados called a physical development plan that's done by the you know, Town and Country Planning Department. It is the official planning document for Barbados. It lays out what is to happen where and what is not to happen where. There's a coastal development plan for how coastal zone lands are meant to be developed and used and all that. But we actually have all these things. The problem we have is that these things are not being used to drive decision making. So that it'd be interesting to hear how the Fairchild Street Market development ties in with the physical development plan. The physical development plan was last updated in 2017, I think it was. I mean, it's a very, very recent plan. And that should technically, in other societies, that would be the driving plan that I tend to be talking about. That would be one where a whole group of people got together, and not necessarily architects, because you actually need the architect after the artists and the vendors and the ZR drivers and the people of Barbados have been lobbied and PR, you know. And they have decided this, they bought into a vision, and then you need the experts to come down and translate that vision into a written plan, which is what they do very, very well. But then they need something that guide what they come up with as a plan. But that's what's missing, because you have a situation now on this river road, where on one side you're talking about demolishing a building, and a set of people in some little group makes that decision. And on the other side of the road, you're refurbishing the market, which needed to be done for a long, long time. So, I mean, there's no debate that it needs to be done. But what drives the plan to do that as compared to what the plan to do the other side of the road? This is where the disconnect seems to be, maybe.
Fair enough. But just looking at the Fairchild Street Market itself, what should we be looking at? What should we be looking to do there? I mean, not just build a roof and chuck people in, obviously.
But maybe we can start with finding out what we are trying to do there. And I suspect there's somebody here who can give us some guidance on that.
Well, there is a plan.
Tell us, Granville, tell us.
Right. The plan, I believe it has been made public.
I have never seen Granville as some words yet.
It seems that he is that person who can do it.
No, seriously, Granville, what is the plan? We haven't seen the plan.
Yes.
The public hasn't seen the plan.
Yeah, well, I should disclose. I had a part in the development of the plan. Mm-hmm. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a beautiful plan. But the powers that we need to... just put it in the Nation of the Advocate and Barbados Today and Loop News or whatever, and allow Barbadians to really buy into the plan. You know, that's
well, that
should
you
happen.
Clearly, you can't divulge something.
Oh, they can divulge some things.
Right. So, but can you give Barbadians an idea of how the vendors will be accommodated, how the level of the quality of their vending facilities will be improved.
Oh,
will you be able to do that?
Yes, they're improved substantially.
How so?
The vendors had an opportunity to make their concerns known, and therefore their concerns were used in the design of these things. I understand that they are happy with them. So they are clean. The whole thing is designed to be very low maintenance and designed to withstand low-end Category 5 hurricanes very economically. It does not cost a lot of money to withstand those things. So they're beautiful. The architect did a wonderful job as far as I'm concerned. The whole design team did a very useful job. But it just needs to be published, I believe, so that the whole public can really, you know, get behind it. Everybody, as I said, we all Barbadians, we all have our oars, we are here ready to row. Let us all just keep rowing. Whether we give pro bono advice, that's rowing. If you're paid, that's rowing. You know, just once we are contributing, whether paid or not, we are rowing. And I think the whole country wants to row. Once the election was won, I think everybody just wants to row and just get us where we need to go. We elected one set to navigate where we go,
We're with you, George.
So a quick sort of comment on what Granville just said and what Trevor has been saying about the physical development plan. I think we have to remember that we live in a society, or we have grown up, certainly myself, at age 52, grew up in a society where we did not have computers when we were at school. By the time I entered the workforce in 1991, I was at a computer full-time for the first time in my life. Now I can do all the stuff I used to do on a computer on my handheld device. We have people who are working in our public service that have started their work before that, when I went into school, and they're still in public service now. And the changes that we have seen over my short period of time in the workforce are incredible. You have a physical development plan from 1991 that was updated in 2017, you said. But it doesn't provide that long-term vision for where Barbados needs to go. And it probably does not take into account the technological changes that have taken place and what the needs of our young people going forward are going to be. So my first reaction to what they were going to do at the Proben Street was, rather than just a park, a facility that provides essential services to the people who most frequent that area, which would be the residents of Nelson Street and all the commuters. You could have adult education centers there. People go to work in Bridgetown, they go there, do some courses, and then they jump on the bus and go home. Yeah. But everything that you do in society is going to hinge on multiple factors. One of the key factors that you have to address is your transportation system. So you want to talk about only pedestrian access in Broad Street. Well, how do you get from one side of the country to the other without sticking up on a highway somewhere? If we're going to talk about people, taking shared transportation into Bridgetown and parking somewhere outside, you have to do a lot of work on your transportation sector. You know, even the breathalyzer thing. You're telling people you can only have two beers to go to a restaurant. Fine. Catch a taxi. I have to wait for the taxi guy who's maybe trying to hustle to get a tourist to come and pick me up. If your transportation sector is not developed to the point where it can accommodate all the changes you're looking at, then it's going to fail. So the vision cannot simply be your building infrastructure. It has to be everything that impacts it.
That's right.
Decision-making has to take into account all those factors. That's right. So we have a long way to go before we can start implementing a lot of these things.
Well said. We don't have a very long way to go, because what we can do is do the things very quickly. We can implement the management system. I wouldn't even worry to call the name. I decided I will not call that name today at all, not on this show. But we can do it tomorrow. Right? We can do it today, Sunday. We can implement tomorrow.
All
right. That's it. So it's not a long way to go.
Let's take a couple of calls very quickly before the 12:30 news. You're on the air. Thank you for holding. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, yes. You're there.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Right, and making my submission, I was disconnected. I wanted to really develop another point with you. I want to ask a question here, in that over the years, and I agree with Mr. Brown again, maintenance, because we had the Lynch Secondary School, we had the old Supreme Court, we had the library, the Water Authority building. So every time a building is deemed sick or unfit, you're going to just leave it there?
That's a question.
Well, that's how it works now.
Yeah, that is actually a major question. That, I mean, I don't think people understand the extent to which that is actually costing rabbits.
Mm-hmm. It's expensive, especially when you pass there by the school there in Roebuck Street. Large building, empty. Mm-hmm. Empty. Go right ahead. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sanka.
Hi, good afternoon.
This is Joyanne Haig, Haig Communications, Inc. How are you?
I am well, Joyanne.
Wanted to weigh in for 2 minutes, if I may. Good afternoon to the panel.
Yes, good
afternoon. Special hello to George.
Hi, Joyanne.
Well, no, I just wanted to clarify one or two things in case we don't sort of mislead the public. And I can understand the questions because a lot of information has not been actually made public regarding the vendors and the market. And I just wanted to be clear that dialogue right now is ongoing with the vendors. One must appreciate that when a policy a decision is made, and one has been made, to demolish the buildings, those who would be impacted directly by that exercise would have to be informed first. So I just wanted to let all Barbadians know that once the information is shared, and we're more or less finished up by today with the vendors, and when I say vendors, I mean ones in the terminal that carries the responsibility by the transport board, the ones in temporary markets next to the fire station, and similarly, the vendors apply their trade outside of the transport board terminal in front of the NIS building. This exercise, which has been named Phase 1 of the transformation project, as you know, will see the demolition of those three structures, NIS building, fire service, and the temporary market. Of course, you then have to look to see where you're going to put individuals while the construction, or should I say the demolition, is taking place. And that ties in now to the new markets that are being constructed that one of your panelists spoke of seeing the plans, and that they've all bought into, and their plans were designed with the vendors, or should I say Barvin and the various associations, so that they know exactly where they're going to. Now, we know we need to clean up Bridgetown. And I agree that everyone in Barbados needs to know what is going to happen step by step. But you can't just push everything at everybody at the same time with the pair and the various announcements that were made by the Prime Minister. So what I can share with you is that this is Phase 1, and the history behind the park, and I would like to reiterate what the Prime Minister said last year, that the park, which is now the behind there, which was really about the whole climate pain movement, we have to be mindful that we're just trying to preserve history too as well by expanding the park and remembering climate pain, as we all know that he gave rise to the legalization of unions in this country, which I would like to add that there are various groups that are involved right now in the design of the park. That would be the unions and other members in Barbados that will be or are currently designing the park. So it's not done with one individual and one person's vision. The announcement was made. It's a policy decision, and our job is to make sure that we communicate the decision with the wider Barbados, but again, have the input of the park and the history of
Joyanne,
the park.
In the interest of time, I'm cutting you in because in the interest of time, I really have to. And okay. Of course, you're putting your case very nicely for the whole project and Phase 1 and whatnot. That's what you're supposed to do. But the major concern coming out here is that why has there been this delay in revealing these plans? I get the distinct impression, I said this last week, that this whole thing was how would I put it? everybody got jumped on this thing. In other words, somebody spilled the beans too early and you didn't have a chance to roll it out properly. That's the impression I get, because you seem to be playing catch up. That is what seems to be happening.
Let me just say this before the news. Okay? Even if that were true, which I can't really speak to who rolled it out quickly and so on. Playing catch up right now, the mere fact that you've caught up, if you want to put it that way, we do have to deal with the now and what's going to happen in the future. And what the benefits will be for Barbadians, for the vendors, for people who ply their trade, for people who live in the city, for people who traverse in and out with cars, and what is going to be the future and the plan. So even though, and yes, we know that there was a little stumbling block and some things had to be more or less corrected, that's okay. These things happen. But what we have to do is look at the bigger picture. Where are we now? And where are we going to be now in the next couple of months?
And the last question that I need to get in here before the news comes is, when are we going to see the plans? By next weekend? By next 2 weeks? When are we going to, when are Barbadians going to see the plans?
The public will see the plans. Now, we can't put the plans in a picture. We can certainly utilize the media houses to put the plans up in the newspaper. We're not going to put the plans up with the hoarding, 20, 30 feet tall. When that is lowered or removed, then the plans will go up for everybody in Bridgetown to see.
All right. Joanne, thank you very much for your intervention. It's 12:29. We have to break for the latest, and I would like to encourage each and every one of you to come back to us as we continue to discuss the transformation of Bridgetown. Stay with us.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.